Welcome back to the Flatback 4 podcast. On this episode, we discuss if Ollie is the right man to take United to the next level, and who could potentially replace him if he does get the sack.
So right, lads, we're doing a podcast here on Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer, the Manchester United manager. Is it the Ollie in camp or is it the Ollie out camp? No one can seem to come to a conclusion. Dixon, come to you here. Ollie took over, caretaker for Mourinho, 19th of December 2018. You know, done well in his first 14 games from 19. Got the permanent role in March 2019. How are you feeling right now about the whole, you know, Ollie in, Ollie out campaign?
I suppose I'm a bit like Chrissy with the Kenny campaign. I'm on the fence. Maybe getting a few splinters, as Daly says. But yeah, it's a tough one. Like, there's no former player that I'd rather see succeed in this role. But I think it could be a case that he might have taken us as far as he can. If you look at his caretaker record, it's excellent. Like 14 wins out of 19. Averaging less than one goal conceded a game. 2.32 points per game. Like, it was just, it was good. And ever since then, it's since he got the permanent role, like, obviously there's been spells where, you know, it's looked really good. And but just, we go through these periods where it just looks like we're a bit clueless on the pitch. And his points per game has dropped to 1.82, and we're conceding a lot more and actually scoring less. So it's a tough one. Look, if you want me to be decisive about it, I'd probably say it's
oh, that's, look, I like the honesty, at least, you know, I can understand why he's such a legend of the club and how you'd feel in that way, that, you know, you want to succeed. I'm sure that, like, he, Elliot, going to, like, that point there, has he done a good job in what he was meant to actually do originally to bring the club back together? Or has that time passed? He's been there 162 games now, 89 wins, 36 draws, 37 defeats. He came in originally to do a job. Has the time passed? Do you think he's done a good job, or what's your feeling on it?
Yeah, I think when he came in first, I think he'd done really well, as Dixon said, with the stats there. I think when he came in as caretaker, when Mourinho got sacked, he'd done very well. I think he's actually overall done a good job in terms of steadying the ship and things like that. But I my thing with Ollie is I just don't think he can take United to that next level. And I'm not sure if Dixon might agree with me. I think the chairman or whoever's picked the board picked the manager, they want the fans to be patient with someone, and then a manager like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's a club legend, you know, the fans are gonna be more patient with him. I think he's done a good job overall. This season, it started off really positive, Dixon, you know, getting Ronaldo in. We spoke about what you were saying, the birds were chirping, you know what I mean? It's one of them, it's one of those things. But there's a lot of positivity, and the squad he's building, you're thinking, look, United could be good this year. I didn't quite fancy him for the title, as I said. But even the way it is this season, I think United are out of the title race already. And yeah. for the... And I actually said that, Dixon, and I see you actually agreeing with me there. I didn't... I just think, even before the Leicester game, because not so much of the teams you did play as the teams you've yet to play, but United, Dixon, they've been in this sort of spell before in the Solskjaer where you're thinking, oh, he's definitely getting sacked. And then he gets a couple of wins. That's why I'm kind of fearful this Sunday, Liverpool United. But I think if Liverpool beat United on Sunday, Ollie's 100% gone. I think I wasn't sure if he would be sacked. But I think if Liverpool beat them, I think he will go. The fans won't be accepting that, I don't think.
You think so?
Yeah, well, I think if Liverpool win, I'm not saying Liverpool will win, Dixon or Ken. I'm not saying they will win. Obviously, I hope and they will be. But I think if Liverpool win, I think Ollie will be gone.
I think it's like probably a similar situation to obviously kind of what you experienced with Lampard. Like, obviously, yeah, you want to see him do well and all that kind of crack. But,
100%.
You know, there has to be a time where you can call a spade, like, and just say what's what in front of you. Like, you can't just let this nostalgic, emotional feelings rule what you're seeing on the pitch. Like, but anyway, Ollie, yeah, to add to your point there, yeah, he does always get results when it's needed most. And I know you're saying about it's the teams he didn't play, but it's actually the bigger teams we seem to do well against. So I know we're saying they're out of the title race, yeah, but like obviously they're not mathematically or anything like that, but
yeah, of course, yeah,
he could pull out a few results against the Liverpool or Chelsea, and Spurs and City, and next thing you know, it's back on again. Like, most worrying thing for me as a United fan, I'm sure most United fans will agree with this, is that like it doesn't seem to be any patterns of play. It's very haphazard. It's very off the cuff kind of stuff. Like you see City's goals, they're all goals by design. You can see it's Pep's influence, whereas we seem to be waiting on a bit of magic from Bruno or Rashford or Martial, even like something like that. And it's just, it's not sustainable.
I couldn't really tell you how United play or what kind of style they play. It's like you said, Dixon, you can see like Klopp's stamp on Liverpool, the way Tuchel plays with Chelsea. And another thing with Solskjaer, Dixon, sorry if I'm cutting ahead or anything, Kenny, but he's up against, you know, Klopp, Tuchel and Guardiola, three of the best coaches in the world. So it's not easy for Solskjaer. No. It's not going to be an easy job for anyone to come in and just be, you know, going for titles and things like that.
Go ahead.
I totally agree with that it's not going to be easy to come in titles. Now, you go back to your point there about Frank Lampard, Dixon, with me as a Chelsea fan. Of course, I wanted Lampard to succeed as you boys know. And but I do think rootlessness of our owners compared to your owners right now, Dixon.
The difference.
That's where the touch is. That, you know, you need to be rootless. And Abramovich never, as we all know, never stood for second best, third best. He always wanted. And if people weren't getting the results, he was going to be, no matter what, a legend or not. Like, you got to look, Dixon, to your last seven games, right? Young Boys away is lost there. West Ham pick up a 2-1 win. Look, it was late on, but a win's a win. You know, you have to win dirty. You lost then in the Cup to West Ham at home. Lose to Villa at home. You win, again, last kick of the game against Villarreal at home. And then you drew with Everton, Andros Townsend, I remember that. And then the weekend there, you lose 4-2. Like, that's very worrying, like, in that sense there. I'll come on to the fixtures that you have going until November later on, but that's a very worrying sign, no?
Oh, it is, yeah. Like, you're looking at those fixtures and you're expecting at least 5 or 6 wins. And some of them should be very comfortable wins. And the only 2 wins we have been relying on, obviously, that Mark Noble penalty miss and then Ronaldo to bail us out against Villarreal. So, very worrying signs. Touch on your point there about Abramovich sacking Lampard. I think that's the difference between the United board and, say, the Chelsea board, for example. Like, they're just killers, the Chelsea board. But United will wait until it's nearly mathematically impossible to get top 4, because I'm sure it's probably in Solskjaer's contract that he doesn't have to be paid out as much or something like that. You see with Van Gaal, he did win the Cup, but he didn't get top 4. Mourinho was languishing in 10th when he got sacked. Moyes, when it was impossible to get top 4, he was gone. So the problem with the United board is they'll wait until it's gone totally wrong before they
absolutely make remove a lot him. Of sense. Absolutely make a lot of sense there, Dixon. Now you're bringing back there where the managers were at that time before they could sack that. You're making 100% sense there. But if I look at Elliot there, like Solskjaer, he's on 200k a week, so 10 million a year compared to what Mourinho was, 22 million a year. Is he just, because he's a yes man, is he just such an easy, you know, for the United board just to, you know, look, we want them to succeed, but we're willing to back him and give him that extra time compared to, let's say, when Mourinho was there, language and intent, for example?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I think they have backed Oli. They have given money to spend. I think they backed him more than they backed Mourinho. Now, Dixon might disagree with me there. I can't really think of who big signings they've got. I think they have backed Oli more.
If you want to go through signings, Elliot, here you go, just before you go.
I know they backed Oli recently. I just can't remember. I don't think they backed Mourinho, because I know they backed Oli this year, and, you know, Sancho signing. Fernandez, he signed it. Did Maguire sign under
80 million, Harry Oli. Maguire.
Under Solskjaer as well, wasn't it?
Under Solskjaer, yeah.
So Mourinho. I don't know why. I don't know. I think they might have been looking for another manager. I think if United want to win, you know, the Champions League or the Premier League, I think they have to get rid of Oli and get someone different. But again, as we said, just three of the top coaches are in England. It's not as easy as said or done. So there's no point in getting rid of Oli, getting someone new in, and the same stuff has happened. But I just think now is the time to change them. While they're still in the Champions League, still can get through the group and things like that, I think now is the time to twist.
Yeah, I think it could be something that has to happen for them to twist. Like, I know that we've had bad results lately and all, and you can put that down to bad form. But no, I think it'll have to be like he drops out of the Champions League and goes into Europa League. That'll be a sacking, or goes out of the FA Cup early again, or I think it'll be something like that.
A convincing win for Liverpool at the weekend. I'm not saying we're going to get one, but I think that
probably will, though. It's playing very well.
A convincing win for Liverpool. But like, Liverpool have a terrible record at Old Trafford. We won last year. There was no fans in the stadium. I think a convincing win for Liverpool at the weekend, Ollie's gone. Because Liverpool bet United.
Interesting.
At Anfield.
But what's a convincing win for you, though? Like a scoreline win, or like...
No, not
performance kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Not a scoreline. Well, a scoreline obviously will be convincing, but if Liverpool went 2-0 but dominated the game, I think because there's going to be a lot of angry United fans there, because the protest is planned as well. So there's going to be a hostile atmosphere. So I don't know how that game's going to go. They might have to do two or three decoy buses for the Liverpool team this time. I think honestly, convincing win for Liverpool. I think because they bet United. Mourinho's last game was against Liverpool. We bet convincingly that day, and it was a couple of days later he was gone.
But anyway, maybe
it's so, the way United have gone. Like, Moyes got a lot of time. People think Moyes was sacked straight away. He got a lot. You know, Giggs came in for the end of the season, but Moyes had the majority of that season. They didn't just get rid of him straight away.
I think Moyes had 34 league games.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to say like I'm some like Solskjaer hater or something like that, but there is like, obviously, just by the scenario, like, of having the top three managers probably in the world in the league. And like we're saying, he's backed. Like, he was backed 100%. But like, Varane has never played in the Premier League. Sancho has never played in the Premier League. He didn't get time to bed them in. Ronaldo's not the same player. I'm not trying to make excuses for him or anything. But like, you see, Liverpool's first 11 is probably arguably the best first 11 in the league. City are signing players who are ready-made Premier League players, as are Chelsea. So there's things that have gone wrong for him as well. And I think he's actually been a good manager for us, but I do think we're in danger of falling behind those top teams now if we don't do something, because we could end up outside the Champions League places, and then you know how hard it is then sometimes to get back in with the loss of revenue and stuff like that. So he's been good. He's been a good manager and managed us through this tough time after the horrendous Van Gaal and Mourinho eras. But I think it's just time to twist, as you said.
Like, if I'm looking there and I'm being dead honest about what I think about Ollie and his time so far, I think, you know, you look at his record there, Molde, Cardiff, Molde, and then going to United and caretaker, you know, you wouldn't usually see that because he was such a legend in what he did. He went in there, done a job, galvanized the team, got Luke Shaw playing back to his best Dixon, and he's turned out to be the top three left backs in the world. He's, you know, got Greenwood there, and he's, you know, progressing him. I think he done what he was asked to do, but I would have said that 18 months from that season he came in there, 2018-19, that December, maybe give him one full season and then move on, because I think United were ready at that stage to move on to the next level. Now I look at them, like, he's spent big on Maguire, Fernandez, for, you know, Wan-Bissaka, like, there's players like Van de Beek there, who was in the Ballon d'Or reckoning, top 30 in 2019. He signed him. Diallo, he's one for the future. So is Pellestri. Dan James brought in, you made a good profit. Tellez, Ighalo was obviously a loan signing, but 10 million loan fee was quite a lot for a loan player. Cavani, Sancho, big money. Varane, Ronaldo. He spent over 455 million. So he has been well backed. I think that United squad is well gelled. It's a very, very good squad. But for me, Elliot, and I'm sure, what do you think? I think they're just playing like individuals, not as a team.
Yeah, I think Dixon might have mentioned earlier that you don't really know how United actually play. And there might have been, look, Ronaldo came in very late. I know he's a brilliant player. Ronaldo came in very late to the preseason. So maybe they were setting up differently, and Ronaldo comes in, he's playing through the middle. Maybe they set up slightly differently and it's not quite gelling. But the players they have, Fernandez, even Cavani, Ronaldo, Sancho, top brilliant players. Like, so it just hasn't worked. He hasn't been able to get the best out of them. I'm not sure what's happened with Sancho. He doesn't look the player. He is a brilliant player. Definitely was in Germany. I don't know what's happened to him. He doesn't seem to be getting the best out of Ronaldo. But again, Ronaldo's not that player we remember from the Premier League. He's not, you know, up and down the wings. He's a poacher. He's brilliant at that. And he already has a few goals to show for it. But I don't know. I just think with that squad, they should be doing better. But again, who do you get in though? Who do you look at? You can easily say, "Oh, go get in Antonio Conte. Maybe he doesn't want the job. Go get Zidane. Maybe he doesn't want it. You know what I mean? Maybe they don't want the job."
But you know, like, so
Zidane and Conte are the two big ones that everyone keeps saying, I think. And
it's more names coming around today, lad. Erik ten Hag off Ajax is a big name being touted there to be, you know, linked with the United job. There's other managers there that would jump in a heartbeat. I even think Pochettino would jump to go there. Like Brendan Rodgers has been linked, Gareth Southgate, Joachim Löw.
Pochettino, I think you missed the boat on him, didn't you?
I think so, yeah.
Who are you looking at? Who do you think, like, who do you want, first of all, and who do you think we could get? Or you could get?
Like, it depends. I'm kind of torn between, like, if we get a Conte, it's just like another Mourinho. Like, you're kind of just buying into a three-year kind of thing. I know that's kind of the way football's gone now, like, but when you've been brought up in the Fergie era, like, you think, like, your manager should be there for 10 or 15 years, like, and build something, but I've been spoiled by that, like, so I hate changing managers so often, and I never call for, like, manager to be sacked kind of thing, but, like, you have to call it when it's bad, like, but, like, I don't know about Zidane. I know he's won three in a row, like, but that just seems to be, like, the perfect storm at Madrid. He just had brilliant players, and they were already very well established, so I'm not a huge fan of Zidane. And then you could go for someone like Rodgers or Graham Potter or something like that, who's really stamped their style on the teams that they're with, but obviously unproven, then winning trophies kind of. So I suppose, like, Ten Hag is a great shout in the mix, plays good football, the Dutch way, like, and he's won trophies, obviously. It's obviously in the Eredivisie, but
young as well,
and he's gotten to the latter stages of the Champions League with that Ajax team, so I think he'd be probably the best shout at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's a good shout. Like, I think if you get Conte, definitely, as you say, Dixon, it's a 3-year max, and it is short term success. You know, you're going to get success with Conte. You look at it in the last decade with Juventus, Chelsea, Inter Milan. You know, you're guaranteed success, but you know they're guaranteed a fallout. So it can be great for a year, maybe 2 years, but there's a deep fallout which could hinder anything there. So Dan, I'm with you on that. He had great squad at Real Madrid. Like, did he really need to even manage that side? Okay, that sounds harsh.
Come on, three
times. I admit that sounds harsh, but when you have that squad, you know, I don't know. I don't think he'd be up to managing in the Premier League with Man United and getting them back to the Man United we all know. It's a tough one. Ten Hag would be a long-term shout, who's proven football.
But Van de Beek might get a game under him as well.
Van de Beek, yeah. Like, you look at how he's got on since he's come to the Premier League. Now, he came in, as you know, December time in 2018. So, United that year, Dixon finished sixth. Quarter-final defeat in the FA Cup to Wolves. Mourinho got knocked out in the EFL that season, to Derby on penalties. The Champions League, the round of group stage 16. The round of 16 to Barcelona, 4-0 on aggregates. I think it was a 3-0 and a 1-0 that season. I think he knocked out PSG and then went against those. Second season, so this would have been his full season. Finishes third. You know, you can see the improvement there. Semi-final defeat to Chelsea in the FA Cup. Semi-final defeat in the EFL Cup to Man City. And then you lose the Europa League semi-final as well. This is where Ollie was getting the nickname, like, you know, can't get past the semi for a long time. That was to Sevilla as well.
I think he was getting a Viagra advert, wasn't he?
He was getting a great advert for it. You know, I don't know how Rashford and all, you know, Sterling get all the adverts when Ollie could have had that advert for a long time. Then he comes 2020-21 season. You finish second again. It's another rise up the table. Look, no one was close to City last year, but you can only, you know, do as well as you can. United did finish second. They got the job done in there. FA Cup, quarterfinal defeat to Leicester, semi-final defeat in the Carabao Cup to Man City, group stage Champions League exit. And then you lose the Europa League 11-10 on penalties to Villarreal. So there's progress there, isn't there? You can see there's progression.
Done your homework, kind of, didn't you?
Well, look, this is definitely for the Ollie inners there, for, you know, letting them know that there's progress, you know. But on the Ollie outers, I can see that there is the Ollie inners, the Ollie outers. So
like a really bad NFL team or something.
Well, the hashtag Ollie in camp are going to go well. I can see progression, you know, that matters, and they'll settle for second, third, fourth place. Whereas the Ollie out camp, the hashtag Ollie out, want number one. They want to be competing and winning trophies. United haven't won a trophy now since Mourinho, who won two. Let's not forget Mourinho won two. He won the Europa League, didn't he, against Ajax, that Ajax tied as well, and he won the Carabao Cup.
Southampton.
Well?
Against Southampton.
Yeah, so he Mourinho did deliver trophies, let's say. Not the most prestige, but he was getting trophies, whereas Solskjaer isn't competing in our one final, and you know, against the Villarreal side, who United should be smashing.
Yeah, well, like the Ollie in crowd, like obviously you've just listed out all of our results for the past few seasons with Ollie, and you can see that there is a trend and it is going upwards. But so a lot of them will say he deserves this season at least, you know, and give him the time to see what happens this season. But then a lot you can't beat the eye test and see what you're seeing on the pitch, like, and it's just so dreadful at the moment. Unless we come out with this patch now and with a few results, we'll see how the Liverpool game goes, obviously, at the weekend. But yeah, at the moment it's drab football. Like, we United should be dominating some of those teams that we've lost in the last seven, and we've actually looked like the team that's played away or the smaller team most of the time. So it's just tough to take, like, especially after being so kind of having such a positive start to the season and thinking everything was looking rosy, like. But yes, it's just disappointing.
Yeah, like I look at that United squad though. If they had a good manager that would be able to make bold decisions, though, Dixon, I'll stay with you for this, make bold decisions and, you know, maybe upset some of the big players if it had to be, I don't know, for a couple of weeks to upset some big name players. Like, you know, there's Tuchel the weekend against Brentford, Jorginho on the bench, Mount, and other big names on the bench played other players after the international break. He's in charge. Doesn't matter who he picks or who he doesn't. He makes bold calls, gets results. Having just 11 top individuals, which United seem to have right now, and something's not clicking, as you rightly said, eye test and patterns of play, does he have to make some people upset to try get the actual his way of philosophy of counter-attacking football?
Yeah, he definitely does, because if you're going to play kind of a counter-attacking style, you're probably going to be sacrificing at least one of those kind of attacking players. So, for example, in the last game, it was Ronaldo, Sancho, Greenwood, Fernandez and Pogba, say, are the attacking kind of players.
Yeah.
If you're going to want to play a counter-attacking structured style, one of them has to go. And at the moment, I don't see Ollie dropping Ronaldo, Pogba or Fernandez. So he is going to have to do something. But then you're going to get the other side of the argument where it's like, why are we starting two old midfielders? So it's kind of a lose-lose from at the moment because of just the way it's gone at the start of the season. So no matter what he does, he's going to be scrutinised over the decision. So if we got, like, we were so open against Leicester, they cut through us like a knife through butter. And it was because it was Matic and Pogba. Pogba was kind of given more of a number 8 role rather than a number 6.
Yeah.
And it just killed us, like. So that's, you can see why he starts Fred and McTominay, in fairness, like. Look, I have no problem with them two starting together when we're playing teams like that who have that pattern of play and keep ball and look to cut through those lines of defence. But there's going to be 60 or 70% of the United fans who are going to just instantly go on Twitter and rage about that, like. So it's a tough situation for him, and I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how it's going to end, but I don't think it's going to end well.
But Elliot, I'll go like to you there in that sense, because I can understand completely where Dixon's coming from there with there's two sides of the coin. I look at Liverpool, who play all types of football. You can see their pattern, but the work rate is second to none from Liverpool. And Salah mightn't be the one who works the hardest, but the rest around them make up for his, you know, bit of freedom that he gets a bit more of than, let's say, Firmino or Jota or Mane. They do a lot more of the work than, let's say, what the United crowd there, like Dixon named off the players there. The work rate at United there, watching against Leicester, as you say, on the eye test, the work rate is very, very poor.
Yeah, I think they were bringing up Ronaldo's stats for how much he pressed and everything, and on Sky Sports, I think it was, and Roy Keane just shut down and just said, look, I can see that with my own two eyes that Ronaldo doesn't chase down defenders. Do you know what I mean? That's not what he's there for. Yeah, Liverpool, they play differently. The press is different. I think Salah does a lot of pressing. There's a Monday Night Football is actually on now when they were showing before a game of all the Liverpool front four, basically, including Jota, were up in the terms of the best presses of the ball. But I don't know what United need. I don't know what it is. It's tough. They don't, like you said, Dixon, I don't know what way they play, what they're actually trying to do. And you watch the game at the weekend, it was all Leicester were, you know, they were the ones trying to play the ball and attack, whereas United were trying to play on the counter-attack, which has worked for Ollie in the past. But other than that Leicester team winning the league, which we know how much of a freak season that was, they won the league as a counter-attacking team. But you don't really win leagues as a counter-attack team, not in England. And the way the big teams in England are, you know, City, obviously the way Liverpool won it the year before, and obviously just on the ball, you know, possession and as well as the press. But I'll say it again. I'm not trying to, you know, dig my heels into Ollie or anything, but I think he needs to go off United one to hit the next level. But I think if Liverpool commence to win, Dixon, I don't, like I said, even if it's a 2-0, but you know, playing them off the park, that kind of, I'm not saying it will happen. I just think because of the protests going on, there's going to be so much hostility and just so much pressure because of the owners and things like that. I think it could, but then again, if you go and beat Liverpool, Dixon, it's completely,
it buys them more time.
It's upside down. It's literally upside down. You nearly want a game like that because there's so much pressure. You nearly want a game that, you know, like there's no way United players aren't going to be up for the game at the weekend. Like you're not going to be. Everyone's going to be jumping into tackles and things like that. So it all makes for a brilliant game. By the way, jeez, that's going to be a brilliant game. I think me and Dixon will be on the outs after. We don't know. Very, very interesting. You know, it's very interesting. But I think he's gone this season anyway.
But if you look there on, as you're saying, Dixon, you used the right term there, buying time. So I'll give you a scenario. So United are playing Wednesday, isn't it, against Atlanta?
Yeah.
At home. So if United win that game and lose, I don't know, 3-1 or 2-0 to Liverpool on Sunday, has he bought time by winning the game against Atlanta?
I would say so, yes. if we lose to Atlanta and lose to Liverpool, yeah, like Elliot said, the writing's probably on the wall then, but this is the problem. Like, we're going on a game-by-game basis for our manager's job. Like, it's not good. It's not a good state to be in as a club, especially, I'm not trying to blow our own horn, but, like, United were probably one of the biggest teams in the world. We can't be going on like this. Like, I think no one's ever thinking Klopp's going to leave after losing a game, or Tuchel or Guardiola, so it's just not good. It's we're in limbo. And yeah, two losses in this week could really see the end of it.
Yeah, I don't think sorry, I'm on your lines there. I think he'd buy time if he beat Atlanta and lost to Liverpool. Even though it should be, you know, rootless thing. Look, he could win both and he might even just go, do you know what? I just don't see any further. Personally, I think he's done a good job up to now. But I think with the squad United have assembled, there's a manager there that can get the best out of Paul Pogba, Fernandes, Ronaldo and Greenwood in the same 11. There is someone out there that's more qualified to, how would you say, like Man United, top three clubs in world football and history. Got to be able to take that sort of prestige and time on them, you know, be able to take the pressure. You look at the next fixtures there, Elliot and Dixon, Atlanta at home, Liverpool at home. You got Spurs away, Atlanta away, Man City at home. Then you got a bit of a
nice, okay one against Watford away, but then you come to Villarreal away, Chelsea away, Arsenal at home. That's your fixtures there up until the end of November. That's crazy. Before December kicks off.
Yeah, and then December's a hectic month. Doesn't matter who you're playing because they're coming thick and fast. So, yeah, this is really gonna be the acid test, Valley, up to the end of November.
I think I agree with you there, Elliot. Like, if you're looking at that there, let's say Ollie does get the time and, you know, he gets those fixtures. Do you see him coming out with a couple of big wins there, or do you see them as they are now, just the work rate isn't up to it to be able to play? No patterns of play against the big sides, or is the old way that, you know, he fashions a win against the big teams when he's under pressure? Will that come out?
Everyone was saying this period of games with the five or six games they have in a row now, it was always going to be telling. So if they do get a couple of wins in there, they are big wins because of the opposition. But yeah, I think, you know, this six games, everyone was saying if he gets wants to get to this part, that'll really kind of tell where United are. You know, once United come out with that six games, their season could be, you know, effectively over, or they could have got a few good wins and they could be on the rise. As Dixon said, one or two games here and there could really change it. That's where we're at with modern football. Managers are just, you know, living on the thin line. But yeah, very interesting stuff. But you know, everyone's going to be glued to United's results and stuff like that to see how Wally's getting on.
All right, then I'll finish with this. Then I'll ask you about Dixon first. What do you think a timeline then for, if you're going to be a betting man, let's say, Ollie to get the rest of the season, or is he going to be sacked before Christmas, after? If you're going to give it, like, you know, because you're a United fan, you know how he's buying time, let's say, with a result and the fee. When do you think will be the time you think he'd be gone?
If obviously it depends on results, but if you're just asking my opinion, I'd say he'd still be there after the new year. So I think he'll get to the February or March, and then it'll depend on league position. If we're in contention of a top four place, and if we're not, he's gone.
Yeah, I'd be on the same lines as you on that one, Elliot. You think it could be the Liverpool game?
Yeah, I just think if it's a convincing one, he could be gone very soon after that. But I think he'll be gone before Christmas. Either way.
All right. Just hope now all the inners, all the outers, let us know on our Instagram what you think.
It's like a belly button.
That's it. Let us know what you think. And very interesting, boys.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for listening to the Flatback 4 podcast. Man United fans, get in touch. Let us know what you think on Instagram and Facebook. Should Ollie get the sack? Are you Ollie in or Ollie out?